The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a stormy Tuesday edition. In more ways than one. How you doing, little buddy?
Hey, Crudy, digging deep for that one, buddy. Good to see you. Rich, working hard on the board, our fair audience. Thank you for hanging out with us.
It's been a long time coming, Dom. I've been waiting for Stormy to take the stand, and I can't believe in court, the defense can still call him President Trump. Why not Conquistador?
It's prejudicial.
It does. Now, I watched, you know, and you cannot see what's happening inside the courtroom, but you can read on CNN in real time the testimony happening, the Chiron, the side. It was like reading tweets in real time. So that's how I viewed the testimony today, Dom. And I would say some of this probably merits a dramatic reading. I think we miss Fancy Brian a little bit in this case. I think he'd make a fine Stormy, but either you or I will have to play Stormy.
Well, we'll see. As long as you don't come to the door in silk pajamas, I'm down with playing some Stormy.
Well, the other one will have to be the attorney, and if we need to rope him in, we'll have Rich be the judge. In case there are objections. There are many objections to the testimony given by Stormy Daniels today.
Overruled.
We're gonna savor that. The salacious details. They're our favorites. So that's coming in the 4 o'clock hour. But Dom, the protest, the encampment here in Madison, it's stretched into week two. 2 weeks. And here was my prediction. I don't know what the weather's like there in Milwaukee where you reside. But here in Madison,
we just had some storms blow through. Yeah, it's been an odd day. Yeah, definitely some stormy weather.
Rain and buckets. I mean, Literally buckets. And if they got that, and I was driving to work here, driving up to the big radio station downtown. Well, the Library Mall is like 4 blocks from here. I got to think they got a thorough soaking. And I've always predicted that's all it would take.
That's why you got a tent. Man, out of the rain.
The tent's not stopping that sort of a thorough soaking. And these people, these conspiracy theories, I might add. I've seen them dispelled all in one Amazon search. So I've seen everyone from Mayor Eric Adams of New York City talking about the Columbia students. It's amazing. It's like they've coordinated an effort. They've all got the same green tent. And you literally can Google. And you can use any variants of this search term, but you could search cheap, crappy tent. And the first one that pops up is a green tent from Amazon for 25 bucks. Damn. They're not conspiring. They're cheap. They bought the first tent that Amazon pushed to them on their cell phones. It's not a conspiracy unless you consider Amazon the deep state. And I do.
Amazon the monopoly. Besides that part of it, I mean, there are many other tents available, I'm sure, on Amazon and perhaps
who needs to look beyond the cheap $25 green tent, man? If you know the cops are coming to take this tent from you, you don't get to go. You don't go to REI.
No, dude, not going there.
You get the cheapest one you can, and that $25 included overnight delivery. Oh, and excellent. A conspiracy was born. You know what I'm saying? That's all it took, green tents. They're coming for us, Dom. Let me turn to the coverage of the Wisconsin Examiner. UW student protests continue into a second week. And you know what's very prominent in the photos, Dom? Green Amazon tents. Don't tell anyone. It's a conspiracy, I tell you.
I've seen several of them in the photo.
UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee student pro-Palestinian encampment protest entered a second week Monday with communications continuing between students, staff, and university administrators. Students launched their encampment last week, joining protests across against Israel's war with Hamas, which has killed over 30,000 people in Gaza. UW student demands include withdrawing from the university's investments in Israel. Now, well, there's more here in the coverage, so I won't jump ahead quite yet. I'll be patient for the moment. The encampment, the encampments have been largely peaceful, apart from Wednesday of last week when the police were brought in by UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin to physically remove UW-Madison protesters' encampment. Over 30 people were arrested, and police have not taken action at UW-Milwaukee's protest. That's better. Different chancellor, different response.
Different outcomes, at least so far.
Over the weekend and on Monday, communication continued with school leaders despite comments from UW Assistant President Jay Rothman that further police action is a possibility. Let's threaten these kids again. Crack some heads.
Come on, Jay. Crack those heads, baby.
Now, UW-Madison student protest leaders met with campus leaders to discuss concerns and expectations on Saturday. The students have six demands. Six, I tell you, Dom, including, and this one seems pretty straightforward, but Mnuchin less so. The students have six demands, including the disclosure of the University of Wisconsin Foundation investments, the cutting of ties with all Israeli organizations, and the removal of police from campus. Now, I apologize. I was listening to another media source, and they interviewed one of the student protest leaders. A, thoughtful, sharp woman. B, they suggested to Chancellor Mnuchin, who put out a statement or basically said in response, well, I can't possibly affect the investment direction. I can't possibly make them divest down at the UW Foundation. And the student in response said, well, actually, we prepared some slides for you about basic financial management and oversight. We do think it is within your ability to have some impact here. But when she said it, it was very thoughtful. It wasn't all blunt and crudy-like. I mean, it was just a whole series of words that made a lot of sense, came off as very reasonable. Anyways, the protest leaders have six demands, Dom. Following the meeting, UW-Madison said in a statement, the students proposed bringing a set of suggested guidelines related to the Wisconsin Foundation and Alumni Association investments in the next meeting, but that no commitments about disclosure of investments and divestment were made. Why is that such a difficult thing? Why would it be so hard for the UW Foundation not to, let's say, invest in defense contractors? I mean, didn't we see this work with apartheid? Didn't they move away from South African-based corporations? Couldn't we move away as a university of higher learning? Couldn't we choose not to invest in defense contracts?
Ah, if you want to give up that profit, sure. But there's a lot of money in war, dude.
Well, that, and God forbid, because I also understand some of these kids, these protesters, Tom, they'd also like to see them divest from fossil fuels.
What?
Yeah, I know.
This is just a Green New Deal. This is insanity.
I know. What a non-starter, right? UW-Madison also said that there was no discussion during the Saturday meeting about a ceasefire statement or cutting campus ties with Israeli institutions. University leaders also said it wasn't an option to remove UW Police Department from campus. So basically, they looked at the students' list of demands and gave the Jan answer. I used to do business with this woman named Jan. She used to call me and tell me very politely, friendly lady, let me tell you all the reasons I can't do what you need me to do. Exactly. Very at least she called. No. You know, I mean, it would have been nice just to get a straight no, because I always knew the answer was no with Jan. But I feel like this is the answer, these student protesters. Well, let me tell you all the reasons why no and go pound sand is your answer.
Well, there's a little more here, Curdy. Again, from the Wisconsin Examiner, our source today, UW-Madison administrators also said that they would continue to refrain from asking UWPD to clear the illegal encampment if productive discussions continue. UW-Milwaukee student protesters
said they met with... Meaning if the students continue to bend? Because the university doesn't seem to be bending on any of these demands, Tom.
Productive. Productive on whose part? Again, in Milwaukee, student protesters said they met with university officials on Monday and reiterated during a press conference that they would stay at the encampment as long as necessary. Their list of demands are similar to those at UW-Madison, including divestment. Amin Atta, a student representing UWM Puller University for Palestine Coalition, said at the press conference that four students met with the three administrators for about 90 minutes. A quote, administrators began by explaining that they understand the sensitivity of the situation. However, they reiterated the need for the encampment to end. We agreed that the encampment must end and that the only way it will end is once the reasonable demands to cut ties with Israeli genocide and slaughter are met.
I appreciate these student protesters similarly obstinate.
Anna said that they were told that the UW administration would reach out to the foundation regarding the disclosure and divestment demands. He also said that they listened to their other demands. He said another meeting will happen with school officials within the next 48 hours. If it goes beyond the end of the school year, then it will go beyond the end of the school year, Atta said. However, it's unclear whether a peaceful resolution will be found on either campus, especially as Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman said over the weekend that further police action is still an option and that the police force used earlier in the week was the protesters' fault. Here's what Rothman said to Upfront. To the extent that there were clashes, that was instigated by the protesters.
I think that's factually untrue.
Footage posted by the Daily Cardinal shows police pushing protesters first. Come on, Rothman. Rothman said he supported Mnuchin's decision last week to bring in police and that he remains in communication with her. He said the encampments will ultimately be gone and that they are a health and safety issue. Health and safety issue, Curdy. There are no sanitary facilities here. We have students and other protesters staying overnight in populated areas. This is a health and safety issue. Our ultimate goal is to ensure that our students are safe, having those kinds of encampments. You know, as your mother told you, nothing good happens after midnight. What?
Rothman what? Hanging out with Rothman, the wrong people,
come
dude.
Come on, man. You got to get some new friends, Rothman.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. You don't have to stick around till midnight, but we might.
Yeah.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang down. And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you hang out with us at the political party at 844-967-2789. Crudy, sometimes the party goes past midnight, but don't tell Wisconsin President Jay Rothman that, the Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman. You know what your mother told you? Talking about the encampments at UW-Madison and Milwaukee. Nothing good happens after midnight.
You're doing it wrong.
He's missed out on so much fun.
I think he did. Just early afternoon nap. Little nap. Then you can go all night. Right. Tom, our friend John Nichols over at the Cap Times, he has a similar topic here, and you can always be a part of our discussion, 844-967-2789. It's a phone number. It's a text line. You can text us at the number. No one has texted yet. Nothing compelling in the first 22 minutes of the show. Come on.
No text? What would you do, Crudy? I guess we should have started with and kept on the Stormy Daniels testimony.
We'll get
there. You got to wait till 4 o'clock. You got to wait.
We'll get there. We have others joining us at 4, and we don't want them to miss out on all these salacious details. My only concern, has Jeff started drinking really, really early today? No text in you, Jeff? Anyways, back to John Nichols.
Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning, Michael.
You can't fight anti-Semitism. Pardon me. Let me try that again. You can fight anti-Semitism and still respect free speech.
What?
Makes it hard to day drink, though, if you're trying to be so productive, Dom. Here is what John Nichols writes at the Cap Times. When the U.S. House voted last week on the Republican-sponsored Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, it passed with relative ease, with only 91 of the chamber's 435 members voting no. Most Wisconsin reps were on the yes side, but Rep. Mark Pocan, my congressman from the town of Vermont, and Gwen Moore, your congresswoman from Milwaukee, well, they opposed it, Tom. Why? Because they read the bill, as did Jerry Nadler, the most senior Jewish member of the House. Nadler, who represents New York City, a New York City district with one of the largest Jewish populations in the United States, has for decades supported every effort to genuinely counter the scourge of anti-Semitism. But he did not support the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which was advanced as part of what Speaker Mike Johnson, you know that guy, MAGA Mike, describes as a house-wide effort to crack down on anti-Semitism on college campuses. Now, why did Nadler, a Democrat whose district includes or adjoins a number of college campuses that have been the scenes of protest and encampments by students seeking peace and justice for Palestine, cast an empathetic no vote? Because, said the former chair of the House Judiciary Committee, this legislation threatens freedom of speech, one of our most cherished values, while doing nothing to combat anti-Semitism. In particular, the House bill adopts a definition of anti-Semitism that could be used to penalize criticisms of the actions of the State of Israel. Among the many Jews who have objected to Israel's assault on Gaza is my guy, independent U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who on Thursday warned Congress against accepting an argument made by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and here's Bernie's quote, that equated criticism of his government's illegal and immoral war against the Palestinian people with anti-Semitism.
Bernie Sanders, who lost much of his family in the Holocaust, counseled against falling for claims that if you're protesting or disagree with what Netanyahu and his extremist government are doing in Gaza, you are an anti-Semite. That is an outrageous statement from a leader who is clearly trying, and I have to tell you, he seems to be succeeding with the American media, trying to deflect attention away from the horrific policies that he is pursuing that created an unprecedented humanitarian disaster, pardon me, said Senator Sanders. So let me be as clear as I can be. It is not anti-Semitic or pro-Hamas to point out that in almost 7 months, Netanyahu's extremist government has killed 34,000 Palestinians and wounded more than 77,000, 70% of whom are women and children. Now, Nichols goes on to write, Nadler brought all these issues into perspective with a floor speech opposing what he damningly dismissed as political theatrics by Johnson and top Republicans in the House, who gained the support of most Republicans and many Democrats for their Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, calling out the hypocrisy of GOP leaders who rushed consideration of the measure as a response to the proliferation of Gaza solidarity encampments on campus nationwide. The New York representative cut through the spin and announced, quote, if my Republican colleagues were serious about anti-Semitism, they would have spoken up after neo-Nazis in Charlottesville chanted that, quote, Jews will not replace us. If my Republican colleagues were serious about anti-Semitism, they would have spoken up when President Trump declared that there were, quote, very fine people at both sides of that rally, or when he said that the Charlottesville rally was a, quote, little peanut compared to ongoing campus protests regarding the Israel-Gaza war. We hear nothing from our Republican colleagues when some conservatives repeat anti-Semitic tropes about George Santos or others. I say to my Republican friends, for too long, your selective silence on these matters has been deafening. Now, John Nichols continues, Nadler's detailed and powerful speech exposed the wrong-headed approach of many Republicans and, yes, many Democrats who are seeking to stifle campus free speech. Republican operatives and the billionaire right-wing donors who fund them have launched a fierce assault on dissent by students on campuses across the country, including UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, who are raising legitimate objections to U.S. policies regarding Israel and Palestine. One operative who was on the attack is former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Waker.
Who since his re-election defeat has served as the president of the Young Ada Americas Foundation, a right-wing effort focused on campuses. Walker, who like many conservatives used to make a big deal about academic free speech, has responded to the tens of thousands of students who are exercising free speech rights at colleges and universities this spring with the meme, arrest them, remove them, expel them.
Let's come back. Let's talk more about the wanker. He's got a long history of trying to,
he's got a lot to
crush dissent. All the way back to the Iowa State Fair when he was running for president, Pizza Box Mike was there that day in the crowd. And he described in real time how Walker grabbed the protest sign and tried to yank it away from the straw bales at the Iowa State Fair. He went on later that day to tell MSNBC's Casey Hunt he thought it would be appropriate to build two walls.
A northern wall.
Winter is coming. More Devils
advocates. Can't wait to hear
advocates.
More from Scott Walker.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics. If the rain
comes, they run and hide their heads. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a stormy Tuesday edition. Just not that kind of stormy. Not yet. We'll get there.
Not yet.
Dramatic reading coming in the happy hour in the 4 o'clock hour. Hope you stick around for it. You brought up the wanker, more accurately, John Nichols did. Maybe we should bring that article to conclusion, and then I got a few more thoughts on the wanker.
Okay, man.
I was clearing the path for you to read, but I'll do it.
Okay, I will bring it to conclusion. Again, one operative, as Nichols writes, who is on the attack, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who since his re-election defeat has served as president of the Young Americas Foundation.
Are you sure it's not the Young Adolphs Foundation?
I mean, it says the Young Americas Foundation. I know it seems like it should be Young Adolphs Foundation, but maybe John got it wrong. But either way, we'll read John the way he has it written. The Young Americas Foundation, a right-wing effort focused on campuses. Walker, who like many conservatives used to make a big deal about academic free speech, has responded to tens of thousands of students who are exercising free speech rights at colleges and universities this spring with the meme, arrest them, remove them, expel them. Walker and those like him are neglecting the fact that the campus protests include many Jewish students as well as Muslims, Christians, and non-believers, and that they are supported by groups such as Jewish Voices, A Voice for Peace, If Not Now, and members of the Rabbis for Ceasefire. Why? Because they are engaged in a transparent election year effort to further divide the electorate. Indeed, as U.S. Rep. Jan Schakowsky says, Schakowsky, an Illinois Democrat who opposed the House bill, says the new legislation does absolutely nothing to counter anti-Semitism and is another Republican attempt to pit the Jewish community and Democrats against each other. In this case, the GOP political gamesmanship is especially dangerous. The American Civil Liberties Union notes that the House bill directs the Department of Education to consider, quote, an overbroad definition of anti-Semitism that encompasses protected political speech when investigating allegations of discrimination under Title 11 of the Civil Rights Act. This, says the ACLU, would pressure colleges and universities to restrict students and faculty speech critical of the Israeli government and its military operations out of fear the college losing federal funding. Yeah, you can't criticize Netanyahu's government. Nadler highlighted the ACLU statement as he refused to play into the hand of cynical Republicans like Johnson and Walker. Reps Polkin and Moore were wise to join him in voting no. So says John Nichols. He's the associate editor of the Cap Times. Of course, he's on the Nation magazine as well.
Dom, I'm thinking hard. There is a small correction I feel it's necessary to make. You struggle what? With Roman numerals or what?
What did I say?
11?
Was it 6?
It is.
Title 6. All right.
I was thinking like Rocky movies, like there weren't 11 Rocky, you know, because I have to picture the Rocky movie. But I figured, you know, you would know the Roman numerals then being.
How you think? I mean, being Italian and everything. Title six. Thank you for that correction, Curti. You know, I love to be corrected on the air. No, we got to get it right, man. That's totally fine.
You know, totally somewhere fine. Mark is looking it up, Googling it right yeah. now. Dom, the wanker, Scott Walker. And this is a guy that liked to crush dissent, right? You guys remember. By the way, if you want to join the show and correct Dom aloud on the radio, 844-967-2789. Yeah, but you've got the readers on, so.
Right, it should be. I just got it wrong.
Man. My okay, eyes okay. just get blurry sometimes. You know what?
I got the X and the V mixed up, man.
I tease. But Scott Walker, I just want to juxtapose, let's say, a couple of his tweets. First and foremost, Dom, let's throw out the religious tweeting he did early this morning.
Oh, he did? Oh, so it's amazing how, you know, gaudy he is, but then he wants to lock everybody up.
Well, it's quite interesting, isn't it? And that'll be the juxtaposition. But 9 hours ago, earlier this morning, I don't even know what time this man gets out of bed, but 9 hours ago, he tweeted out, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And that's 1 John 4:7. That's the Bible verse that he's out tweeting because, you know, God knows you love him more when you use the Twitter platform. And then a little bit later, a couple hours ago, he's out tweeting again. Same wanker, same God-fearing question mark. Christian, he puts out there, "Since the majority of Palestinians support the October 7th terrorist attacks by Hamas on American and Israeli citizens." I'm not sure that that's been factually proven, but, you know, never been one for the facts, Dom.
Well, I mean, you know.
"The graphics should do more than correct the spelling. Here's a better headline. Palestinians support terrorism." All caps. Very godlike in your thought process, I'm sure. Who would God broad brush?
Well, Palestinians. Because, of course, you know, God talks to Scott Walker, and that's where Scott Walker gets his inspiration from, as he obviously tells you. So, presumably, according to Walker, Scott's not a fan of the Palestinian people.
And you know what the objectionable photo was?
What was that?
Free Palestine. That's what he...
Really?
That's what inspired the terrorism talk. Someone said, "Free Palestine." As he self-describes, "I'm Christian, American, husband, father, Matt and Alex, 45th governor of Wisconsin, yeah. Harley Davidson rider, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, MU, UW fan, author of Unintimidated, and the prez of the YAF, Young Adolphs Foundation.org.
America's, Young America's Foundation.
Well, see, like you and Roman numerals being Young Adolphs Foundation. I always screw that one up. Thank you for correcting me on that. I needed that modest point in the right direction. Here and you, one more. Hashtag wanker. He's always been a wanker. I will spare you because I'm not going to pay the 8 cents a day at the Washington Times. He's behind the paywall. But his newest sentiment is arrest them all, basically. Crush all student dissent. But, you know, it's crazy when they want to bring on some, what's that guy's name? Milo Yiannopoulos.
All right.
Or one of the others that have espoused anti-Semitic positions, let's just say. And they bring them down to the campuses. And then if students protest, oh my God, you're crushing the free speech of our, you know, anti-Semitic speaker. By objecting to that person.
Right.
And so many of the speakers they lined up are very objectionable, Dom. They say objectionable things. They you know, let's just say stir the pot for clicks and money, generally, I would say. But then if you object to them coming to campus, think Vicky McKenna. She's had her own little speaking tour, right? Brought some friends down to the campus. If you object, then you're stepping on the speaker's First Amendment right to say god-awful things, apparently without consequence, on UW campuses. That's the sort of diversity Scott Walker's looking for.
There is no freedom of consequence, and there's no freedom to have other people silenced in their objection to your free speech. It's called free speech.
Yeah, but you texted me the picture of Scott Walker literally trying to pull a protest sign out of a protester's hand because that's the guy he was. Just a petty little fascist dictator wannabe.
I put it up.
He just wasn't charismatic enough to be a dictator, Dom.
Or rich enough. Or rich enough. Or had enough rich friends. And he certainly had a lot of rich friends giving him money, you know, because Scott Walker asked. But I put it up on the Twitter feed, the @DevilRadio, of course, Devil's Advocates on the Facebook, of Scott Walker. It's a still shot of him in Iowa reaching into the crowd and trying to grab away a protester's sign that is apparently he finds objectionable. And the sign that he's trying to grab while he has a mic in his hand on stage at the Iowa, in Iowa campaigning.
Iowa State Fair.
The Iowa State Fair. Here's the sign. Warning. Don't let Scott Walker do to America what he did to Wisconsin. He's trying to pull the sign out of a person's hand. Literally squelching their free speech. Literally. Again. On camera, very specifically, while he's engaging in his own free speech. It's pretty fantastic.
Now, no one's accused Ben Shapiro of being anti-Semitic, but he was one of the conservative commentators that, you know, got a little protest here at the UW campus. The Daily Cardinal, this is the student paper, as they covered this, this has been, you know, 6 or 8 months, Dom, November of 2023, conservative speaker Ben Shapiro will visit the University of Wisconsin-Madison Monday, as it describes, but this is postdated, as part of a lecture series sponsored by the Young Americans Foundation, a conservative youth organization. The event is co-sponsored by the Young Americans for Freedom at UW-Madison, the YAF, the Tommy Thompson Center for Public Leadership, the Center for Study of Liberal Democracy. I'm surprised they can do that. And GOP Badgers. The event will start at 7, blah, 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 blah. Findings from a survey conducted by the UW system in November of 2022 showed a majority of students believe instructors encourage diverse classroom viewpoints. However, both left and right-wing students reported they often self-censor personal views on controversial topics in class due to worry about classmates' reactions. You think you self-center, censor? You should hear me on the radio. Because what I don't say would fill a book. And about 3 hours additional each and every day. Now, we're excited to host a successful and safe event for attendees across the political spectrum. We look forward to working with the university and champion its stated value, protecting free speech. But not all students are thrilled about Shapiro's visit to campus. No? The Young Democratic Socialists of America at UW-Madison posted a call to action on Instagram for a counter-protest outside the Memorial Union during Shapiro's event. We stand in solidarity with queer, indigenous people of color, marginalized and oppressed people, and victims of hate. We don't believe their rights are here for debate, and we vow that fascism will never win the day. You must mean the speaker. Speakers like Shapiro and Matt Walsh, very conservative guy, who visited campus last fall, intend to provoke and terrorize, this according to the Young Democratic Socialist of America, they intend to provoke and terrorize marginalized people. In a statement, YDSA criticized YAF insiders who took it upon themselves to put up posters advertising Walsh's event in spaces of inclusion on campus. So you go down to the Black Student Center and you start putting up Matt Walsh's poster. You're sort of inciting something, right? Stirring the pot.
To invite, you know, some folks that might have a different perspective on racial issues.
Similar posters were found posted on campus in the week leading up to Shapiro's event. Neither YAF nor the Center for Liberal Democracy responded to repeated inquiries from the Daily Cardinal asking who was responsible for the posters. Didn't Scott Walker have a run-in with like the student newspaper in college? He was running for student body president. and he was accused of stealing all the newspapers.
And why would he do that?
Because they wrote an editorial about him, apparently unflattering. And I believe they published another one, and he was described as, like, unfit to serve. That was, like, the headline on the new paper at Marquette. What a distinguished career he's gone on to lead at the Young Adolphs Foundation.
Young America's Foundation.
Here. Hamas is evil, and its defenders are Jew haters. That was the poster, Dom. It included logos for YAF, CLSD, and the Thompson Center and the GOP Badgers. The Cardinal is unable to verify the poster's source at this time because no one's claiming responsibility, right? No, they never incite. There's no inciting going on. Let's just put up some hate-filled posters at the, you know, the cultural
anonymously.
Centers.
We don't know who did that. But Jesus loves you.
I can't believe protesters would come and protest the insightful language being used by these public speakers, their First Amendments being crushed by protest, even though they're being allowed to speak, by understanding. Come back, more devils.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you for listening to The Devil Advocates Radio Show. Going to the line, certainly be patient, 844-967-2789.
I was just remembering when Vicky was on campus. Vicky, your girl, Vicky McKenna, right-wing talk radio host. Inferior product down the dial. Some of you are familiar. But Vicky came to campus with Ben Shapiro. This was some 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Back when they were still trying to decide whether or not, you know, Trump was the proper messiah to lead the people. Apparently, they decided, yes.
Yes, he is.
Because shortly after the election in 16, shortly after the election of Trump, Vicky got all jammed up by some students on campus and, you know, it got to be a hoot nanny down there, Dom, and she's very proud of her actions because she's a little thing, but she's spunky and she probably was packing heat. So, you know, she knows no fear. She was trash talking. Some of the videos I review, little white privilege showing through, you know, maybe it's the talk show host, maybe it's just Vicky, but you know, if
you've never talked trash in your life, right?
Not.
I got into an argument with the Baptist church people down
the Westboro Baptist church. Yeah, you did. Alex Jones and you had the similar temperament because he was also arguing with the Westboro Baptist church that day. And after he was done, then you took up. So you're like the extension of Alex Jones.
And you know, not really. I'm nothing like Alex Jones. I don't owe billions of dollars to people for defamation of the Sandy Hook tragedy. But I get the attitude, man. You know, there's something to be said about putting a mic in front of you and be able to, you know, speak your truth. And some folks embrace it, you know, wholeheartedly, like Alex Jones and Vicky.
Well,
and you and me. Come on, man. We all talk a little trash once in a while, right?
Yesterday, last night specifically, I read a lot of the text on the text line because they come fast and furious sometimes. Not to start the show, apparently, but yesterday they were. And I was talking about the heckler I had Wisconsin Grassroots Network. And Andy sent a thoughtful text in to the text line at 844-967-2789. Andy said yesterday, I generally like your show, except for Dom. He didn't say that. I'm just throwing that in. I assume that part. But the tone and framing of your commentary on the Gaza war protest is disappointing. Obviously, the new poll is worth talking about. The polling said effectively, very few people really, really care about this issue strongly. It's not their primary voting issue.
Like could be abortion. Overall and 7% of the Democrats.
College students.
18. Yeah.
It was a numerically very small number. And I pointed out that, you know, sometimes the loudest voices in the room get heard, but it doesn't mean they're speaking for the majority of people. And So anyways, Texter Andy took me to task yesterday. I didn't find it in real time or I would have acknowledged it, Andy. I did read it last night. He points out, obviously, the new poll is worth talking about, but framing your commentary on Gaza solely around the war's impact on the U.S. presidential election without acknowledging the 35,000 Palestinian dead, 70% women and children, non-combatants, an unfolding humanitarian crisis is callous and cynical, and I think you are capable of better. I would hope so, Andy. So mea culpa, and we did acknowledge some of those same figures through my guy, Bernie Sanders. And it's not that we never have, but the exclusion of the further context yesterday, well, shouldn't have been. So anyways, someone using the text line to chastise me, nah? People are very creative in how they correct us on the air.
I appreciate that. I guess we could bring up the death statistics every time. In some regards, I think it's kind of assumed, but, point taken.
844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, better not protest us like Vicky and Ben on campus, man.
Scott Walker and the Young Americas Foundation after you, Paulie.
Looking for love, Paulie, and loyalty. Absolute loyalty.
Nothing but loyalty. I don't even need the love.
Well, I'll say a little bit about Scott Walker. See, you invoked him. Worst governor ever. He's a lying SOB. He never spoke the truth. He was scared to death at a peaceful march. Peaceful march. He hid in the tunnels, for Christ's sakes. That's Pizza Box. He was there. I was there. It was a joke.
Wisco, in his very Christy gnome-like, full of fiction, ghost-written book, Unintimidated, he claimed that he was surrounded by protesters in a cop car in La Crosse. And Dom and I have history in La Crosse. I actually worked in a newsroom in La Crosse. And so I fact-checked his book. That never happened, Wisco Paul. That would have been a newsworthy story if a candidate or the governor was surrounded by protesters in a cop car. Never happened, Paul. You know, just like he never met Kim Jong-un or shot a dog in the head, maybe.
He killed cricket. We don't know.
That's because he's a liar. He always has been a liar. It's just a joke. Anyway, I was unaware that God talked to him. So God told him to take the money, the Medicare money, or Medicaid money, excuse me, so people could get sick. I mean, is that what? Oh, man, I tell you, I get so worked up over
this. Hey, Jesus might like poor people, but Scott Walker doesn't. They don't give to his campaigns.
Oh, Jesus. I get so worked up over that dude that I shouldn't anymore because he's long gone.
No, he's not gone, man. He's just went away for a little while to get paid at the Young Americas Foundation. Well, like $700,000-$800,000 annually? Is that what that number is? I mean, you know, it's worth the wait. But I fully expect Scott Walker, he's a young politician. He's going to be around for a long, long time.
On the periphery of losers. Because that's what you are, Scott. You're a loser. Come back. When you listen,
Twitter.
That's his only relevance. More Devil's Advocates. We got a radio show, so we're better than Scott Walker.